Senate will be in session. Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by Chaplain Johnson and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Chaplain.
Let's pray. God, our Father, again today, for just a moment, in the midst of a lot of activity in this building, we pause to remember that you are God. And we also pause to remember that what we do here happens in partnership with a lot of other people, with our spouses who support what we do. It happens in partnership with children and grandchildren or parents who we won't see much. It happens in partnership with friends and coworkers who are filling in for us back home. We thank you for these valuable people in our lives, and we pray for them today that you'll sustain them, give them your strength, and give them wisdom as well. And God, grant us wisdom in what we do today here. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary will take the roll.
Mr. President, 49 members are present. Senator Kelker is excused.
Quorum being present, the Senate is ready for session. Without objection, we'll go to order of business number two, reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, we are committed on agriculture, livestock, and irrigation. Report that House Bill 59 be concurred in. Senator Mike Lang, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on business, labor, and economic affairs. Report that Senate Bills 167, 179, and Senate Joint Resolution 2 do pass. That Senate Bill 105 do pass as amended. That House Bills 30, 43, 70, 71, 98, 120, 123, 138, 139, 145, 157, 160, and 166 be concurred in. Senator Jason Small, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on Senate Fish and Game. Report that House Bills 99, 133, and 162 be concurred in. Senator Steve Heinbaugh, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on Judiciary. Report that Senate Bills 135 and 148 do pass. That Senate Bill 94 do pass as amended, and that House Bill 18 be concurred in as amended. Senator Keith Regeer, Chair. That is all, Mr. President.
Okay, without objection, the committee reports are adopted. Without objection, we'll go to order business number five, messages from the other House.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the House of Representatives and from the Senate of the following actions. The following House bills were on the SC read three several times and passed silent history agreed to, and they're herewith transmitted to the Senate for concurrence. House Bill 15, Beattie, House Bill 28, Knutson, House Bill 72, Marshall, House Bill 89, Green, House Bill 101, Gillette, House Bill 129, Welch, House Bill 146, Kastmeyer, House Bill 155, Zolnikoff, House Bill 185, Fitzgerald, House Bill 260, Regeer. That is all, Mr. President. Signed, Carolyn Cheetah, Chief Clerk of the House. That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, we'll be on order business number six, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bills 210 through 217, House Bills 15, 28, 72, 89, 101, 129, 146, 155, 185, and 260 have been introduced, read first time, and referred to committee. That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, we'll be on order business number seven, second reading of bills. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole for the consideration of business on second reading.
You've heard the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Ayes have it. Will Senator Ellis please take the chair?
Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 32. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 32, introduced by Cuff by request of the Department of Public Service Regulation, a bill for an act entitled Revising Natural Gas Pipeline Safety Penalties Amending Section and Providing an Effective Date.
The clerk will read the sections.
One through two.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 32. What is your pleasure, Senator Cuff?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 32, that it recommend the same do pass.
Senator Cuff, are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Oh, Senator Cuff, do you want to explain them? Sorry.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the body, I'm pleased to offer to you Senate Bill 32 for the Senate's consideration. This bill is brought at the request of the Montana Public Service Commission. This is the highest priority bill for PSC this session. If passed, this bill will update Montana state law setting the penalty amount for gas pipeline safety violations to bring them into line with federal law. So what's the need for the bill? As the members of Public Service Commission are very much aware, they are a partner with the federal government in inspecting pipelines and enforcing violations of pipeline safety standards. As a result of this joint partnership with the federal government, Public Service Commission Montana receives $250,000 in grant money from the federal government to fund the PC's pipeline safety inspection work. Public Safety Commission's grant funding is dependent on Montana state law being in compliance with federal law, including the amount of civil penalties. The Montana PSC has been informed that the civil penalty amounts in Montana are not currently in compliance. Therefore, PSC has been informed it risks losing its federal grant funding unless we bring them into compliance. Montana allows for penalties of not less than $100 or more than $100,000 per day of the violation, maximum fine not to exceed $1 million. To come into compliance with federal law, Montana Code Annotated 69-3-2007 needs to change to state that is not to exceed a fine of $239,142 for each violation day, and the maximum fine not to exceed $2.39 million. It is important to understand that the penalties that can be assessed under Montana law cannot be used to duplicate penalties imposed by the federal government. Thus, there is no risk a company would be penalized twice for the same violation. This bill received two hearings in the Energy and Telecommunications Interim Committee, and there were no opponents to the bill. This bill also passed out of Senate Natural Resources Committee on an 11-0 vote. In sum, in order to continue the very beneficial partnership between the state of Montana and through the PSC and the federal government in ensuring pipeline safety, we encourage you to press the green button. If you are inclined to cost the state some $250,000 in grant funding, go ahead and vote. But it's a no-brainer, folks.
Thank you, Senator Cuff. Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there any discussion on the bill? Seeing no discussion, does the senator wish to close? Thank you. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Cuff that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 32, it recommends the same do pass. All those in favor will indicate by saying or voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 47 senators vote aye and 2 senators vote nay.
47 senators voting aye and 2 voting nay. Senate Bill 32 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, please be in order. Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 38. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 38, introduced by B. Brown, by request of the Department of Justice, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising statutes related to level designations for sexual offenders, providing definitions, requiring additional information from offenders regarding electronic and communication data, and professional licenses, requiring notice when an offender is leaving the state, providing opportunities to certain offenders to be removed from the registry, providing notice requirements for psychosexual evaluations, and amending sections.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 6.
Members of the committee, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 38. What is your pleasure, Senator Brown?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill number 38, it recommend the same do pass.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What this bill does really is it kind of updates our reporting requirements. In many ways, it left loopholes and made a Montana an attractive state to move to if you had one of these offenses. I'll kind of leave it at that. I know we got a lot of stuff ground to cover today. I'll leave it there and cover a little more in my closing. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Brown. Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there any discussion on the bill? Senator Weber.
Madam Chair, speak to the bill. I agree with most of the things in this bill. I just have to disagree with one section, and that's on page 5, going on to page 6. And line 12, that's 3, and it says, at the time of registering, the offender shall sign a statement in writing giving the information. And on page 6, it outlines all the information. Well, my issue with this is that it's kind of overreach, and it may affect everyone in this room with unintentional consequences. We all have to give our information. We're public servants. Our information is out there, our emails, our addresses, our phone numbers. And with this bill, it looks like if these individuals do not give this information and they phone us, which is their right to talk to us, then we're accessories. You know, if something should go wrong here. So that's the issues that I have, that we may, as public servants or even citizens, they have to say this is who you're going to contact. So that's why that's the only portion I have issues with this in this bill.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? Seeing none, does Senator Brown wish to close?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I do. I do wish to close. Really, what this is about, you know, is really to give us the information that we need to best make choices for our family and for our children, for our grandchildren. And I'm not going to get into too much of my personal history, I guess you could call it, but it is my hope that there's somebody watching this today that I will tell you that if you have been a victim of one of this type of act, talk to somebody about it. It is important that you talk to somebody about it. It will eat you alive if you do not. It is the only way to true freedom in your life, and with that, I will close. Thank you.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Brown that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 38, it recommends the same do pass. As many as in favor of the motion will signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 35 senators vote aye and 14 senators vote nay.
35 senators voting aye and 14 voting nay. Senate Bill 38 has passed the Senate. Second reading. Members of the Senate, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 53. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 53, introduced by Lang, by request of the Department of Labor and Industry, a bill for an act entitled revising laws relating to weights and measures fees collected by the Department of Labor and Industry, providing rulemaking authority to the Department of Labor and Industry on fees for weights and measures, limiting the fee increase on a license for a weighing device, establishing reporting requirements, requiring a one-time only transfer of funds, amending section, and providing effective dates.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 4.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 53. What is your pleasure, Senator Lang?
Madam Chair, I move the amendment as committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 53 that recommends the same do pass. Madam Chairman.
Senator Lang.
Senators, I bring you a bill from the Department of Labor and Industry. We're changing one word on our front page here for just testing were fees for licensing also. One of the things that's happened in Montana, as you all know, is that we've had an influx of people here, so there's an influx of building going on. So in this department, in July of 22, they lowered their fees for building applications. And therefore, they've had quite a few of them, so some of the money was still held in the agency. And then they have 100-year-old equipment that relies on the testing of weights and measures, and they need authority to transfer some of that money from the building codes over to the weights and measures. Now, some of you might say weights and measures is not a big thing, but also you know that the price of gas has went up. So when you've been pumping gas as of late, you want to make sure you're getting in a gallon of gas in your tank, make sure it's registered accurately on the pump. And also, if you're a proprietor, you want to make sure that the inventory you're selling is weighed also. In my country, if you're shipping 300 head of steers that day and you're weighing 20 at a time, you know, that's 25 times or 15 times that scale's got to go across. That scale's got to be licensed every year to make sure the guy is getting what he wants to sell and the guy that's what he's buying also gets the weights that he buys. So this just authorizes them. The Committee of Business Labor, which it came out of 10-0, did put an amendment on there. So on the fee structure, if they need to change these fee structures, they cannot do that more than 15% at a time. So please, Madam Chairman, I hope for a green light. Wait to close.
Thank you, Senator Lang. Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, the question now arises on the motion of Senator Lang that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 53, it recommends the same do pass. As many as in favor of the motion will signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no.
Come on, Z.
Senator Molnar. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 48 senators vote aye and one senator votes nay.
With 48 senators voting aye and one voting no, Senate Bill 53 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 113. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
Senate Bill 113, introduced by Lentz, a bill for an act entitled revising child abuse and neglect laws to make permanent the requirement that additional notifications be provided to a parent or legal guardian from whom a child is removed, amending section and providing an effective date.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 113. What is your pleasure, Senator Lenz?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 113, it recommend do pass, Madam Chair.
Senator Lenz.
Members of the body, we have before you a bill that is associated with a concept that passed through both houses last session, the five-day hearing, emergency protective services hearing in child removal cases. As part of the negotiation process, the judges and others felt like it shouldn't be fully implemented until July 1st of this year right now. So it would fully go into effect. In the two-year meantime, I also moved a bill forward that would create a volunteer emergency protective services hearing for any parents that would request it. The good staff on first floor pointed out to me during the interim that some of the language in the voluntary emergency protective services hearing didn't get transferred over to what is going to become permanent. I'd like to highlight that starting at the bottom of page 3. So it involves information that the parent's going to receive, information involving the EPS hearing within 5 days and the required show cause hearing within 20 days, provide contact information for the CPS specialist, the specialist's supervisor in the Office of the State Public Defender on the first part of page 4, right to receive a copy of the affidavit, right to attend and participate in EPS hearings and the show cause hearings, including providing statements, and may request the child may be placed in a kinship foster home. So it just moves over some good language to what is going to become an ongoing program in the state, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Lenz. Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there any discussion on the motion? The question now arises on the motion of Senator Lenz that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 113, it recommends the same do pass. As many as in favor of the motion will signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 49 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
With 49 senators voting aye and no senators voting nay, Senate Bill 113 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 119. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
Senate Bill 119, introduced by Weber and others, a bill for an act entitled an act revising the temporary exemption for certain tribal property to apply to property owned by a member of an Indian tribe, amending section and providing an immediate effective date and an applicability date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
1 through 4.
Members of the committee, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 119. What is your pleasure, Senator Weber?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 119, that it recommends the same do pass. Madam Chair.
Senator Weber.
Senate Bill 119, it just extends the five-year temporary tax exemption for qualifying tribal members on tribal land that wish to move their fee property into trust. This is kind of when we had this last session that we had the tribe and we excluded the members of the tribe. They have the same status. So I'm just adding that in. And I just have to say, you know, I have fee land within the reservation. And the reason why I put my land into fee, my husband and I put our land into fee, was because we could get a loan. We can to buy our home. Otherwise, you know, the old redlining still applies to certain areas of Montana, and the reservation is one of them. And if you look at the fiscal note, there's very little change, $1,000, $680, $1,140, $1,600 into 2027, so there's very little impact on tax revenue. But for us that are in this situation, we should at least have a option to turn our fee property into trust. Not that we will, because we still, if I want to expand my property, I want to build a new shed or a barn, then I have to put my property up for collateral, but at least people should have an option. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Weber. Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Senator Hertz.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. As many of you know, I've worked on this issue for several sessions, and I'd have to agree with the fine senator. This was an omission. It was not intentional to omit tribal members. So I think this is a good bill that provides support and to our tribal community. So I would request a due pass. Thank you.
Is there further discussion on the measure? Seeing none, the question now arises on the motion of Senator Weber that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 119, it recommends the same do pass. As many as are in favor of the motion will signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 49 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
With 49 senators voting aye and no senators voting no, Senate Bill 119 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 121. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
Senate Bill 121, introduced by Beard and others, a bill for an act entitled Act Revising Individual Income Tax Laws, reducing the top marginal individual income tax rate, increasing the earned income tax credit, amending sections, and providing effective dates and an applicability date.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
1-4.
Members of the committee, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 121. What is your pleasure, Senator Beard?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 121, that it recommend the same do pass.
Senator Beard.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. You have before you today Senate Bill 121, which revises individual income tax laws, reduces the top income tax rate, and increases the earned income tax credit. It would apply to tax years after December 31st, 2023. This reflects the governor's goal to continue reducing the state's top income tax rate, now down to 5.9% with this bill, to help make Montana a more competitive place for our economy and for our standard of living. At the same time, Senate Bill 121 details an increase in the refundable earned income tax credit from 3% to 10%. There is a fiscal note providing analysis of these revisions. I ask you to pass, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Beard. Are there any amendments?
Madam Chair, I move to amend Senate Bill 121 with Amendment SB 121-001-006, signed Senator Travis.
What is your pleasure, Senator Travis?
Madam Chair, I move that Senate Bill number 121 be amended and request that amendment SB 0121.001.006 be posted and deemed read.
Senator Travis.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. So why am I bringing this amendment? I'd like to separate out the two large policy and monetary pieces to this bill, mixing what I'd say is good policy, an income tax marginal rate decrease, from not so good policy, which is the earned income tax credit. The EITC from the federal government is already fairly generous and they can create money. As a state policy, I think we should pass on that part, mainly because it's a refundable credit. It's tax money from others that a person could receive even if they had zero tax liability. Thank you.
Is there discussion on the amendment? Senator Beard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Even though I understand the sentiment of this amendment being brought forward, at this time I will resist and ask the committee to resist as well. This bill was put together with a great deal of balance in trying to affect a little bit of income tax relief to a broad spectrum of people at various levels of the income scale. So I would ask for a no on this amendment. Thank you.
Senator O'Brien.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to speak to the amendment.
Please do.
I'm going to suggest that we resist this amendment. This bill is designed to cut taxes, and it's also designed to address some of the people in Montana who have a real struggle making ends meet. And I will suggest a no vote on the amendment.
Thank you, Senator O'Brien. Senator Travis, would you care to close on your amendment? The senator has waived his closure. The question now arises on the amendment of Senator Travis that Senate Bill 121 be amended. As many of as in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 20 senators vote aye and 29 senators vote nay.
20 senators voting aye and 29 voting no. The amendment has failed. Are there further amendments?
Madam Chair, I move to amend Senate Bill 121 with amendment SB 121-001-007, signed Senator Molnar.
What is your pleasure, Senator Molnar?
Madam Chair, I move that Senate Bill 121 be amended and requested that amendment SB 0121.001.007 be posted and deemed read. Madam Chair.
Senator Molnar.
My fellow travelers through this session, last session, you may recall, we gave 0.5%, 0.5, a half a penny per dollar in tax obligations reduction to those making above the poverty level. It passed. We now have SB 121 that adds a reduction of another 0.6 cents per dollar in reduction to tax obligation to those above the poverty line. Unfortunately, I am sure that by unintended oversight, we forgot to include those below the poverty line in the rate of reduction. This amendment is an attempt to rectify that oversight and make those below the poverty line treated the same as those above it. 1.1 comes from adding 0.5 and 0.6 to bring parity over the last two sessions. I'm sure it was an oversight and is, because we are aware that the same demographic is challenged to afford housing, food and reliable vehicles in an upward spiral. And it seems as though we are perplexed as to how to help. We heard in the introduction on this bill, and I quote, this would increase the standard of living. My amendment will help increase the standard of living for people that have almost no living standard. A wealthy guy, or average income earner, will get about $50 from the last time and about $50 from this time. These guys might get $20, $30, $40, $50 for the year as well, and that will be a significantly higher percentage of their income, and they need it far more desperately than those that are making $100,000 a year. With that, if there's any discussion, I certainly would welcome it.
Is there discussion on the amendment? Senator Beard.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I ask that you resist this amendment. It's not an oversight that the rate was lowered to where it is at this point. We are on the road to making our income tax rate in the state of Montana highly competitive regionally. So this is a graduated step. We're not done, but this is where we're at now with an offset to the earned income tax credit to address multiple levels of the income scale. Please vote no. Thank you.
Senator O'Brien.
Check. Thank you, Madam Chair. Speak to the amendment. I'm going to speak in favor of this amendment. It heads in the right direction, and quite frankly, I think so many of us are out of touch with what's really going on in Montana, and so many of these people, our Montanans, are struggling to make ends meet, and this goes in the right direction. So I encourage a green light for this amendment.
Senator Hertz.
Thank you, members of the body. I would also encourage to oppose this amendment. I want to bring one other issue to light, too. Last year, I worked on a simplification bill, Senate Bill 399, which significantly removed somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to maybe 80,000 low-income people from our tax rolls. And that is being accomplished by, we're now going to follow the standard deduction at the federal level. So starting in 24, your first $14,000 for a single person of taxable income will not be taxed in the state of Montana. And if you're married, the first $28,000 will not be taxed in the state of Montana. So we've really taken a lot of these lower income folks off of the tax rolls here. So this amendment, it's not the right direction that we need to go to. We need to continue with simplification. My long-term goal, and a lot of other individuals, is get down to a flat tax rate in Montana so we all easily understand what the rate in Montana is. And by complicating and continuing to work down our rates in different sections, we can't get to that goal. So please vote no on this amendment.
Senator Molnar, would you care to close on your amendment?
Yes, I would, Madam Chair. I don't dispute anything that's been said. Yes, Senator Hertz, we did remove some from the tax rolls. This doesn't apply to them. This applies to those that pay taxes. If you lower the taxes for one group of income taxpayers, but leave it the same for others, that money goes to backfill to the general treasurer, to the general fund. Why should somebody making $30,000 a year backfill for me? I have no idea why. I think that Senator Beard is also correct. There are provisions for poor people, but there are also provisions for wealthy people. Capital gains would be but one. Writing off some of your home taxes because you have an office in there is another. Having your car owned by your corporation is another. At the end of the day, one has money and the other does not. this attempts to equalize. If you believe that it should be our policy to have the poor among us, have their income taxes backfill the loss of revenue due to income tax breaks for the most wealthy, just vote no. It's pretty simple. Or you can vote for equal treatment under the law and parity for all. That would be a yes vote. I appreciate your rapt attention.
The question now arises on the amendment of Senator Molnar that Senate Bill 121 be amended. As many as in favor of the motion, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 22 senators vote aye and 27 senators vote nay.
With 22 senators voting aye and 27 voting nay, the amendment has failed to pass. Are there further amendments?
Madam Chair, I move to amend Senate Bill 121 with Amendment SB 121-001-008, signed Senator Molnar.
What is your pleasure, Senator Molnar?
Madam Chair, I move that Senate Bill 121 be amended and request that amendment number SB 021.001.008 be posted and deemed read. Madam Chair.
Senator Molnar.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm not going to beleaguer this. If 1.1, a dollar or a penny per dollar and a fraction for poor people was too rich for your blood this time, why not give them the 0.6 that we're giving to the others? We'll start parity now. They may never get caught up. As the flurry of plans on what do we do about the surplus goes round and round and round, one that I heard 2 weeks ago and I was asked to support a couple days ago is don't give the money back. Stick it in a trust. We can spend it slowly that way and everybody wins. If there's an opportunity to give money back to some people, in this case some poor people, and some rich people at 0.6, a little over half a penny per dollar. Today is that time. What is the worst that happens? Montana is not so big that wherever you live, you can't walk three blocks and drop two or three income levels. Walk four and find somebody and explain to them why you got a tax break, but they didn't. Why Governor Gianforte got a tax break, but they didn't. Pick any one of 50 names. We're going to get a tax break. We represent them. They work many of two jobs to subsist. To give them 0.6 pennies per dollar return on maybe a $500 income tax return is not asking too much.
Is there discussion on the amendment? Senator Beard.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I ask again that you resist this amendment. During the last presentation, we've got a delicate balance worked out with addressing a flatter tax rate in the state of Montana, so that we can be a growing, thriving economy and highly competitive in the region. And as it was also pointed out, we are trying to ultimately get to the goal of simplification of our tax code. Thank you. Please vote no.
Thank you. Senator O'Brien.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Speak to the amendment, please.
Please.
I'm going to stand in favor of a do adopt for this amendment for the reasons previously stated. Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
Senator Molnar, would you care to close on your amendment?
I would.
Is there any more discussion? Sorry. Senator Dunwell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, I'd like to speak in favor of this amendment, and I thank Senator Molnar for bringing this amendment. To me, it's about three things. It's about fairness, like the bill sponsor said, to bring balance to our tax system. It's about fairness and to balance the scales. It's about accountability, that we know, as legislators, accountable to the public and our constituents, we know that we're accountable to everyone. The poor, the middle income, the super wealthy, we're accountable to all Montanans. And you know, it's about freedom. It's about the freedom for all Montanans to enjoy our quality of life that's guaranteed in our Constitution. And so it's not just a playground for the wealthy and rich. Thank you.
Is there further discussion on the amendment? Senator Hertz.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I love freedom, but this amendment is not one that's going to get us there. For the same reasons that I had spoke earlier, this is a bad amendment, and I would encourage you to vote no.
Senator McGilvery.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had to stand up and say something here. I would suggest everybody go to the Department of Revenue's biennial reports and see who's paying the taxes in this state. The taxes aren't paid by the people in these brackets. If you look at it, it's probably an 80% of the taxes are paid by 20% of the taxpayers. And probably 10% of the taxpayers are paying 30 to 40% of the taxes. So let's be real here. Who pays the taxes in this state? It's the people who make money. And when you bring down those top tax rates, that attracts more of those people who pay taxes. As a matter of fact, a lot of times when you bring down those tax rates at the top, you get more revenue from those individuals. So let's be real here and realize who pays the bills, who pays the taxes in this state. And these kind of amendments, although they feel good, they miss the mark on really who pays the taxes. And I'm tired of hearing so many times that these top taxpayers aren't paying their fair share. They pay 80% of the share. So let's be real about who pays taxes and resist the amendment.
Is there further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, now to Senator Molnar, would you like to close on your amendment?
I think I would. I was going to ask a few questions, but that's considered to be aggressive, and I'm just not feeling very aggressive today, Madam Chair. I will respond to Senator McGilvery. I do not have another amendment that says the money will go as far up as we can go. I'm not attacking the wealthy people. I'm saying they get their 0.6 penny, almost half a penny. Of course they're going to move here in flocks for half a penny. I'm saying treat those at the bottom with the same deference as we treat people at the top. You're making this amount of money, we're going to give you a break. You're making below this amount of money, you're too poor for us to care about. 80% pay this percentage and that percentage. These people pay also. If I'm entitled to a break and you're entitled to a break, they are entitled to the exact same break for the exact same reasons. There's no difference. They bleed red when you cut them. It was said that by my seatmate that they should wait for simplification because we're working on that. The wealthy don't have to wait for simplification, but the poor do. Why don't we simplify for all of them at one time? Is it too complex? I serve on tax. I assure you, nothing is too complex for us. There is no reason that anybody stated whatsoever as to why somebody making $35,000 a year should be treated differently from somebody making $40,000 a year. They have the same families. They buy the same food. They live next door to each other. Their kids go to school together, and they all pay the same property taxes, which we're not giving them a friggin' break here either. we can give them back a couple of bucks and treat them as equals. That's all this amendment asks for.
The question now arises on the amendment of Senator Molnar that Senate Bill 121 be amended. As many as in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 20 senators vote aye and 29 senators vote nay.
With 20 senators voting aye and 29 senators voting no, the amendment has failed. Are there further amendments?
Madam Chair, I move to amend Senate Bill 121 with amendment SB 121-001-009, signed Senator Dunwell.
What is your pleasure, Senator Dunwell?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move that Senate Bill 121 be amended and request that amendment number SB 021.001.009 be posted and deemed read, please.
Senator Dunwell.
Madam Chair, members of the body, this amendment, please refer to page 3, line 3, subsection 2. It's real simple, not even that much math. It increases the 3 to 10%, the 10% in this current bill, in the earned income tax credit, increases that to 60%. And as I mentioned earlier, it's about fairness. Again, this would make sure all Montanans enjoy an equal and fair tax benefit. So right now, SB 121 amounts to about a $6,000 increase to the top 1% of Montanans, the super wealthy. But when it comes to necessary, needed tax relief to pay for a carton of eggs, to pay for a pair of shoes for your kid to go to school, you know, for Montanans in need, as well as Montanans in the middle income bracket, the benefit is fairly negligible. A couple hundred dollars for your lower income Montanans and 50 bucks, as was mentioned, for middle income earners, like most Montanans, all hardworking Montanans, your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones. So this amendment allows you to go back to your constituents and voters and say, we did fair, equitable tax policy and gave you a real meaningful tax relief that you'll really notice when you do your state income taxes. And so all of us, we can be super accountable again to serving all Montanans, all hardworking Montanans. Whether they make 15 bucks an hour or $15 million a year. So thank you. Please vote yes.
Thank you. Is there a discussion on the amendment? Senator O'Brien.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Speak to the amendment,
please.
I'm going to speak in favor of this amendment. If we're talking quite a bit this session about tax benefits and tax cuts, and if we're going to do that, let's do it across the board and see the opportunity for everyone, every Montanan. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Beard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I ask the committee to resist this amendment. This is far and above what has even been postulated thus far, and I would say that we haven't begun to see all of the tax relief plans that this legislative session is going to produce, and I do not think that attacking this tax relief at this date with this amendment is in the game plan for this, the meaning for this bill. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Hertz.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I would oppose this amendment too. If some of you are wondering about the fiscal cost to this amendment, just some shoestring math here. If you go to page 2, there's a chart in the middle there that says that 10% will cost us $11 million. If you add another 50% on top of that, we're going to be at about $55 million a year, pushing the fiscal note on this total bill up to $215 million. We've well worked with this, with the budget director. That just would not fit in our budget going forward. So, thank you.
Is there further discussion on the amendment? Senator Flowers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question for the sponsor.
Yeah, Madam Chair. Yes, thank you.
Senator Dunwell, do you know what the fiscal impact of the top tax rate reduction is?
Let's see, I have the fiscal notes someplace here. So you're talking about the bill, right?
Yes.
Let's see. Almost $200 million. $179,742. So,
Senator Flowers, did you want to say you're still logged in? Okay, thank you. Is there further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, Senator Dunwell, would you care to close on your amendment?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Real quick, we have the revenue now. We didn't have the revenue back in 2017. We have it now. We have a $2.5 billion revenue balance. So we have the money to be proportional across the board. Sure, the wealthy pay maybe 80% of our tax revenues. It's not proportional. It's not proportional at all. In fact, when it comes to the earned income tax credit, I'm glad we have that. However, we rank among the lowest in the nation as far as matching the federal EITC. Some states offer 100%. All I'm asking is 60%. And look around, right, our neighboring states, they offer much more than 3 or 10%. And you know, way back, if we remember our history, President Ronald Reagan called the earned income tax credit the number one tool to fight poverty. Well, let's fight for Montanans in poverty. Thank you. Vote yes.
The question now arises on the amendment of Senator Dunwell that Senate Bill 121 be amended. As many as are in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed vote no. The clerk will record the vote. Oh, excuse me, Senator Bartel. the clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 15 senators vote aye and 34 senators vote nay.
15 senators voting aye and 34 senators voting no. The amendment has failed. Are there further amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
We now are back to the bill that was not amended. And is there any discussion on this bill? Senator Zolnikoff.
Thank you. So I had the opportunity to serve 4 terms in the House, and I got to see what happened last session and where we're at today. So I would like to clarify something here, because the message is wrong, inappropriate, and I think it's fair to all of our friends in the media to kind of see a different perspective on this. The current tax code today and historically, if you had a $35,000 salary, you'd be paying, I believe, about $1,600 in taxes. What with Montana matching that federal deductible, the first, and this, that's for a single filer. So $35,000, you're paying about $1,600. Today, or with this bill, when it becomes law, based on the previous piece of legislation, with that $14,000 deductible for a single earner, and with the, if the chairman of tax wants to follow my math to make sure I'm right, that means you're paying $0 on that first $14,000 and 4.7 on that next $20,000. So you're paying $940 on your first $34,000 in taxes. So, sorry, on your gross income. So you make $34,000 with this bill in place, you're paying $940-some in taxes. With the previous tax code, the first $34,000, $35,000, you'd be paying $1,600 in taxes. Tell me how that does not benefit low-income individuals. We are doing that. This is already being done. That deductible that we forgot to talk about, that $14,000, that's a big deal. That does affect people. This does lower taxes overall. So it's not like there's people left in the dark. And then just one other point. They say, oh, well, this is going to only benefit the wealthy. What is the wealthy at this point? $50,000 and you are in the highest tax bracket? Actually, I think it's below that. Let's see. You got the first 14 deducted. Then you got another 20. Oh, $35,000, you're in the high tax bracket. So that's everybody. And you know what? Last time I checked in this country, at least in this state, we believe that people can move up and will move up. People aren't stuck in economic classes. This is good for people. This is good for Montanans. And I hope that we can all focus, keep our eye on the ball, that we are going to try to increase wages, and we all will work towards that goal. So thank you, and I hope we all vote for this.
Senator Hayman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Speaking to the bill, after knocking on over 2,000 doors and asking residents how living in Gallatin County was working out for them, a large percentage of folks said they were happy to live in Montana. They also greatly valued access to public lands. The challenges they talked about were the lack of child care options and the need for more stable housing. Some folks were being charged monthly rental increases. But never, never did anyone say we need to make sure the wealthy are even wealthier. Please vote no on this bill that does not give a fair break to medium and low-income Montanans. Thank you.
Senator Tribus.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So being in the tax realm of things, being a CPA, I just kind of want to say it's me. Hi, I'm the poor guy here. It's me. So, you know, there's years that I could qualify for some of the earned income tax credits, depends on the year, but you know, may not look at today. But my theory on this, lowering the top marginal income tax rate, is it's a good, low, and broad, and I'd say fair way to handle tax policy. I'd rather use my money than give it to the government to use, and I think a lot of us agree with that. I think I can do it better in my business and my personal life. So whether this stimulates the economy or not, I think it will. We can debate that. But I'm going to use it better than frankly, the government. Thank you.
Senator McClafferty.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Speak to the bill, please.
Please.
Thank you. Thank you for helping me. I know that the last couple of years have been hard on all of us, and some of us have had a harder time than others. Over the weekend, I was at home and trying to relax a little bit like we all try to do. And I was reading the newspaper, and I came across an article that talked about the average wage in Montana is $53,456. And it also talked about how food prices and services are going up. And if we want to talk about, you know, things that really matter, it's about food. It's about paying for our mortgage and our rent, and paying for prescriptions and utilities. We all know that our utility bill jumped sky high in the last several months, and buying food for the family. We should do more for our Montana families. And there are bills out there that have been introduced or that are still sitting in the hopper that that can help Montanans more. And those bills should be given some real consideration before the whole body, and then we look at all the bills and decide on them. One thing, you know, when I sit in church, sometimes when we're saying our prayers, one of the prayers that they always say is that they pray that our elected officials don't forget about the poor and those who are struggling. So I'm asking you, let's not forget about those who are poor and who are struggling. And I ask you to please not vote for this bill. Thank you.
Senator Hertz.
All right. Members of the committee, I want to make one thing perfectly clear. We are not using our surplus money to cut these taxes. This is ongoing revenue. It would be irresponsible of us to use our surplus dollars to cut ongoing income taxes. So we're not doing that. You're going to see a number of bills coming across here as we debate how to spend our upward into $2.5 billion in surplus taxes. Yeah, we don't always hear people knocking on, when we're knocking on the doors, complaining about their income taxes, because quite frankly, I think we've done a good job in controlling our income taxes across this state. And if you look back to 2005, when we were at 11.9, and we, you know, just have continued to drop that down, and we get fought every time on this side of the aisle, not considering these folks here in these back couple rows, about we can't cut taxes. We never can cut taxes. And we have shown, time after time, we are being very responsible with our budget and our tax reductions. Also on your table, you should have a handout from the annual corporate report, the annual taxable report from the Department of Revenue. I always like to look at facts, because you always hear a lot of misinformation when it comes to taxes. You know, there's always that fallacy out there, the rich aren't paying their fair share. They're paying less than the people on low income. So if you look at this particular handout, on the first page, it's one that's got my signature on it. It's taxed as a percentage of Montana adjusted gross income. So you go down to the very bottom, 4.5% is the average. This is divided into 10 decile groups. There's about 600,000 taxpayers, so there's about 60,000 people in each of these groups. So you can see the top decile is paying 5.4% taxes on their Montana adjusted gross income, and then it continues to just drop. So those people in the top bracket are paying more than other individuals. Now, if you flip that over, the other side of that, basically, same decile points. If you look at the far right-hand side, it will tell you the tax liability in each of those groups. So you can see the top decile, they are paying, 60,000 people are paying 58% of all income taxes in the state of Montana. The top three deciles are paying 83% of all taxes in the state of Montana. So who is paying taxes in this state? Those top earners. God bless them. And we need more of them. Because with them, everybody else is paying less. So, and the fine, my vice chair, he pointed out the bill that we passed last session, how much that bill benefited low-income taxpayers. Yet my friends on this side of the aisle, I don't believe one of them supported that bill last time, even though it helped. Now we believe almost 80,000 low-income taxpayers. So I'm not sure how we can please this side of the aisle sometimes. You know, this is a good bill. We've worked in the earned income tax credit to help individuals. This is a fair bill. I think it's a bill that we all can get behind and support. So I would request a due pass. Thank you.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a good bill. This is an important bill for the people of Montana. You know, when I go campaigning, and I know the people in our party do, one of the things I say is I'm going to fight for lower taxes. That's one of the basic principles that makes, I think, us Republicans. We support lower taxes. We're here to promote economic growth and increase prosperity, and I don't think there's any better tool to do that than lowering marginal tax rates. It's something that's been proven year after year after year, and we have the opportunity to do that today for the people of Montana. And as Senator Hertz said, this is a good bill. This is a fair bill. Not only are we lowering marginal income tax rates, we're also providing a boost in the earned income tax credit. Everybody's getting relief under this bill. This is a bill that's ultimately going to make Montana a better place to live. It's going to make Montana more prosperous. It's going to improve our economic growth in this state. It's going to do all those things. The fact of the matter is our rate is uncompetitive. The states that surround us all have lower tax rates. South Dakota doesn't even have a tax, an income tax. So if we're going to make Montana a better place to live, start a family, get a business going, this is the bill to do it. So I hope that I look up on that board, I see 34 Republicans, and I hope we can get this one over to the House and we can do something for the people of Montana. Thank you.
Senator Flowers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just in responding to the good senator from Kalispell, we actually just voted for three different amendments to lower taxes. So just a reminder, we are interested in lower taxes. We're also interested in fair taxes. And what that means is, sorry folks, people at the top pay a little more than people at the bottom. And right now, we've got darn near a flat tax. And that's not fair to the lowest wage earners. Somebody making $5 million a year shouldn't be paying the same tax rate as somebody making $100,000 a year or $50,000 a year. And that's what we're facing now. So yes, we are interested in lowering taxes as long as it's equitable and fair to the lowest wage earners as it is to our top wage earners. We, for sure, in Gallatin County, are not facing a problem with people moving into this state. They are not facing a barrier that it's too expensive, that our taxes are too expensive to live here. That's not a problem. People are flocking in. They're driving up the price of our homes because they can afford it, and they're not worried about their tax rate. I'm sorry, this is not fair. It's not fair to our lowest wage earners, and that's why we're going to oppose this bill.
Senator Molnar.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, but it's my understanding it's poor protocol to speak after the majority of the minority leader. I clicked in after that, so I will not jump in on what he had to say unless I'm incorrect on that.
The Senate will stand at ease. I don't know the protocol. Oh, he's correct. That's easy.
Once again,
okay.
I am correct. Thank you.
All right. Okay. So, I assume that then there is no further discussion. Senator Beard, would you like to close on your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. We did hear a lot of great discussion here today. Thank you, everyone who participated in the discussion. First, I'd like to say it sounds like a lot of us are cognizant that the reason we're here is because we are representing the people of Montana. That's why we're here. Secondly, I'd just like to mention that a person paying 5.9% taxes on $1,000 versus a person who pays 5.9% on $10,000, that $1,000 earner will be paying less taxes in the state of Montana with this bill. I did have 3 points that I wanted to cover for what I heard here today to summarize. Simplification, it was mentioned that this is beyond a simplification bill. Well, I'm not a CPA, but I have to hire a CPA to do my taxes because they're not simple. Secondly, With this bill, overall, nearly 60% of households will have their tax liability decrease under the proposed rate reduction and with the EITC rate increase, and no taxpayers will have their income tax liability increase with this bill. Finally, this bill will help further promote our economy in the state of Montana to grow more and better jobs, to provide more and better opportunities to all of our citizens, not just the wealthy. So I think the propensity for fairness and for uplift in our economy is infinitesimal. Please go green.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Beard that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 121, it recommends the same do pass. As many as in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 34 senators vote aye and 15 senators vote nay.
With 34 senators voting aye and 15 senators voting no, Senate Bill 121 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 124. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
Senate Bill 124, introduced by Hertz, a bill for an act intended on revising apportionment of income for purposes of Montana's corporate income tax, adopting a single sales factor apportionment model for purposes of Montana's corporate income tax, amending sections, repealing sections, and providing a delayed effective date and an applicability date.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 12.
Members of the committee, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 124. What is your pleasure, Senator Hertz?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 124, that it recommend the same do pass, Madam Chair.
Senator Hertz.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm going to have to explain this a little bit because I believe a lot of you don't live in the world of multi-state corporations. This bill is about fairness. And I guess I'll point first to the fiscal note. It raises revenue. So Senator Hertz is raising taxes on certain corporations, mainly some out-of-state corporations coming in. So multi-state corporations, obviously, just like the definition, they do business in multiple states. These are C corporations that pay income taxes on their own. This is not S corporations or pass-through corporations. This only apply to what we call C corporations. This bill is designed and will support Montana-based businesses. So years ago, we had a multi-state compact that all the states entered into and said, hey, how are we going to tax these corporations that do business in multiple states? Well, let's come up with a formula. So we had a three-phase formula. We want to know how much property you have in a state. How much payroll do you have in the state? How much in sales do you have in that state? So you figure out those three factors, and then you divide that up and you come out with, that factor might come out to you have 20% of that in Montana, you've got 80% of that in Idaho. So yeah, if you made X amount of dollars, 20% is taxed in Montana, 80% is taxed in Idaho. So now a lot of states have wandered away from that. In fact, 30 states use a single sales factor. The rest of us are using the property tax factor, and there are some states who don't even have taxes on corporations. So if you can imagine a corporation in Montana that has a lot of property here, a lot of employees here, yet are selling most of their products out of state, they're getting penalized for just being in Montana. So what we're trying to do here is basically say, hey, look, come to Montana. We're not going to penalize you for either bringing your business here or expanding your existing business, building more buildings where you're going to pay property taxes, support our schools, local governments, bring a lot of your employees here who are going to buy homes, support their communities, pay property taxes, pay income taxes, and support our communities. Compared to those folks who live out in the internet world and we order products from them and they magically show up on your front doorstep, those folks are not paying their fair share in Montana. They're not paying a significant amount of property taxes here. They don't have a lot of employees here. And that businessman on Main Street that you go down and you like to support, he has an overburden of taxes on that particular business. So that's what this bill is designed to do. Those people who don't have a lot of investment in Montana will now, our sales factor will be based on what are your sales in Montana. So if the corporation I gave an example of, it's only 10% of your sales are in Montana, and you get all this property, only 10% of your income is going to be taxed in Montana. And those folks who have very little property in here, if they might be throwing 30% of their sales into Montana, then 30% of their income will be taxed in Montana. That's why you're going to see some corporations are going to be paying more, because they should pay more. Some Montana corporations who do a lot of manufacturing or selling out of state are going to pay less. Those corporations who sell an even amount in Montana, even property, and even payroll, are going to pay the same. And I am a multi-state corporation, and I went through the calculation here. My taxes are probably going to change about $200. That's it. It's because what I do in this state reflects what my taxes should be. So with that, I'll stand for any questions, but for the businesses of Montana, I hope you'll support this.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, does the sponsor care to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Hertz that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 124, it recommends the same do pass. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by saying aye, or voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 33 senators vote aye and 16 senators vote nay.
With 33 senators voting aye and 16 senators voting no, Senate Bill 124 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 134. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
Senate Bill 134, introduced by Fitzpatrick, a bill for an act entitled revising laws related to injunctions providing additional deadlines for temporary restraining orders without notice and amending sections.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
1-3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 134. What is your pleasure, Senator Fitzpatrick?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 134, it recommends the same do pass.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What this bill does is it tries to bring a little bit of clarification and set some timelines into our temporary restraining order code and our preliminary injunction code. The reason for this bill is that we're starting to get situations here where we've got timelines, they're not being met, people aren't getting hearings in time, and this just clarifies that we'll just start in Section 1 temporary restraining order with notice, without notice. What that is that you can walk into up into a courtroom and get somebody to have a judge issue a temporary restraining order. You can't do anything, and that can be done without notice. The law says 10 days, but unfortunately, there's been a number of circumstances where the order, the hearing date is being set 60, 70 days out in advance in violation of the law. What this does in Section 1 is it clarifies that that temporary restraining order is only enforceable for 10 days. The next section, we've deleted out the like period and again clarified it's 10 days for an extension of time. And then finally, in Section 3, we're establishing timelines for when the court needs to issue a temporary restraining order and an injunction. So, or hold the hearing on a temporary restraining order and an injunction. Ultimately, this is about providing some fairness and providing some clarity to when these motions need to be ruled upon. It really is unfair to have someone have a temporary restraining order against you or an injunction and just have it disappear into a black hole with no response from the court. So I think this is just a way to make sure that the people are treated fairly in our court system. So I'd ask for a due pass. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there any discussion on the bill? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Colleagues, I rise to oppose Senate Bill 134. In committee, the sponsor, as he did on the floor, raised very real concerns about the consequences to very real people when there is a delay and a delay to the resolution of a court case, because all court cases represent conflicts between our people here in Montana. But court cases take time. And although we have superhuman judges, and we do, there is still only 24 hours in a day. This matter really can only be resolved by fully funding our justice system. Instead, we are addressing court delays by putting stricter timelines in the law that have automatic results against one of the parties. It makes it, as in line six on page 2, automatically expires in line 11 and 12. The restraining order is invalid and unenforceable. This consequences go against a party rather than the court system, for example, which is really our responsibility. In this bill, the consequences of not meeting these deadlines are taken out on the person seeking the injunction, which is usually in an emergency. The court must be given the necessary time to decide cases in the merits, and if we want them done faster, we must fund them. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, does Senator Fitzpatrick, would you like to close? Senator Fitzpatrick has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 134, it recommends the same do pass. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 34 senators vote aye and 15 senators vote nay.
With 34 senators voting aye and 15 senators voting no, Senate Bill 134 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 154. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
Senate Bill 154, introduced by Kay Regeer, a bill for an act entitled defining the right to individual privacy. Clarifying the right of privacy does not include the right to abortion.
Are there any corrections to the history or title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you
for your consideration, Senate Bill 154. What is your pleasure, Senator Regeer?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 154, that it recommend same do pass. Madam Chair.
Senator Regeer.
Members of the Senate, in Article 2, Section 10 of the Montana Constitution, the right to privacy is mentioned, and it says this, quote, "The right of individual privacy is essential to the well-being of a free society and shall not be infringed without the showing of a compelling state interest," end of quote. The key word in that section is individual. What kind of privacy is it? Individual. Most Montanans would say our Constitution guarantees a right to privacy and mistakenly leave out that word individual. The framers of our Constitution could have left out the word individual, but they obviously felt it important. Following the science since 1973 and Roe v. Wade, there's been advancements in DNA and ultrasound. That makes it clear that an abortion is not an individual act. It involves different DNA. It involves another set of fingerprints. It involves another individual. A right to privacy should not apply to an abortion any more than a right to privacy applying to child abuse or abusing a spouse. Those acts include another person and are not acts of individual privacy. Now, I know that some courts have determined that a right to privacy means a right to abortion. And you may hear from opponents that the Armstrong decision settled this issue and this bill is unnecessary. I want to remind you, courts have made wrong decisions in the past. From Dred Scott to eugenics to Roe v. Wade, the court has made wrong decisions that were later corrected. Title I of the MCA contains general definitions of terms. Senate Bill 154 will be added to this section of code. Madam Chair.
Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Senator McCamey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Those of you who know me know that my record shows I am adamantly pro-life. I personally am adamantly pro-life. But ladies and gentlemen of this committee, privacy is privacy. Individual privacy is privacy. If enacted, this bill would be unconstitutional. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Fuller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee as a whole. The U.S. Constitution, which under the Supremacy Clause, establishes a ladder of laws, which would mean that the Constitution of the state of Montana must abide by the U.S. Constitution. The 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution says, "No state shall deprive any person of life, liberty, or process, of life, liberty, or without due process of law." Depriving a person of their life without an adjudication process is a violation of the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution. This bill attempts to rectify and co-mingle the United States Constitution with the Montana Constitution. I urge a due pass. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator O'Brien.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Speak to the bill, please.
Please.
I do stand in opposition to this bill. As we saw in the last election, ladies and gentlemen of the body, the majority of Montanans do not support restricting access to comprehensive health care for women. This bill, as mentioned before, is blatantly unconstitutional and will be litigated, and this thus becomes a waste of taxpayer time and dollars. Please vote no.
Is there further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, does Senator Regeer care to close?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, there had to be a reason why the framers put individual in on that right to privacy, and that's the whole premise of the bill. Abortion is not an individual event. We know that, and I urge a due pass on this bill.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Regeer that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 154, it recommends the same do pass. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 28 senators vote aye and 21 senators vote nay.
28 senators voting aye and 21 senators voting nay. Senate Bill 154 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 166. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
Senate Bill 166, introduced by Lynch, a bill for an act entitled an act exempting barbering services provided at state correctional facilities and county detention centers from licensing requirements, amending section, and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Madam Chair.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 166. What is your pleasure, Senator Lynch?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move in this committee as rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill number 166. It recommend the same do pass.
Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, a little lighter note here. What this bill is we have been using inmates to cut other inmates' hair in correctional facilities since we were a territorial state. What has happened recently is Department of Labor, I don't know if it was an inmate complaint or somehow something got raised over at Department of Labor, and it turns out that that's not legal. And so what we're trying to do here, if you look on page 1, line 18 and 19, we are going to exempt prisons and jails from using licensed barbers to cut hair. And I guess is only things in Helena can be at times. If we don't pass this bill, Senator McGilvery has a decision package for about $600,000 to pay for barbers to come off the street and cut hair. So this is common sense, good government. Let's give it a green light and find some agreement today, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Are there any amendments?
None, Madam Chair.
Is there, oh no. Is there any discussion on the bill? Senator Hertz.
Madam Chair, members of the body, if you don't have a licensed barber, this is the type of haircut you get.
Senator Friedel.
I will have to disagree with the good senator to my left. I believe we need an actual example. So I believe the good senator to my north should go over there and get a haircut and let us see what it looks like. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Senator Olson.
Madam Chair, a question for the sponsor, please.
Does the sponsor yield?
Absolutely, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, my question actually does go to the difference between barbers and cosmetologists and whether or not people actually have a choice in the system in which on who cuts their hair, knowing that some kind of hair does require more skill than was done with Senator Hertz's hair. I'm just kidding. I think it's appropriate to have the choice of having a non-professional cut your hair, but will they have a choice to have a professional cut or style their hair?
Madam Chair, members of the body, I think we could cut it out with Representative Hertz's bad hair jokes. To your question, the reality is that nobody's getting a haircut by a licensed barber or cosmetologist in the system. I should say with one caveat, maybe there is somebody that committed a crime and they were a licensed barber on the outside and they now find themselves inside the walls of the state prison. And if, you know, security risk would be as such, they may be able to work their way into a barbering job. So that being said, they're not licensed. And what they've never been licensed, and what we're doing is saying that that's okay. We don't really need them to be licensed. If this bill doesn't pass, we then have to go find somebody in the community to come in with a license to cut hair within the facility.
Follow up, Madam Chair.
Follow up.
I apologize. I this is actually a real case I had about somebody wanting to get a better haircut within a correctional facility. So would this apply to women as well?
Madam Chair, members of the body, yes, does it would apply correctional facilities and county jails that are licensed as defined within the bill.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Gillespie.
Madam Chair, since we're on a lighter note, we just heard the prison in Shelby up there, and I think they have about 700 inmates, but anyway, we had just addressed this bill in business and labor, so as we passed their little barbershop room, I asked them, who cuts hair here? All the other prisoners have been cutting hair. Nobody seemed to be complaining, so with that, I'd say good to go.
Is there further discussion on this bill? Seeing none, does Senator Lynch care to close?
Madam Chair, I couldn't miss the opportunity to talk about the best bill of the session one more time. Go Green.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Lynch that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 166, that it recommends the same do pass. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 47 senators vote aye and 2 senators vote nay.
With 47 senators voting aye and 2 senators voting no, Senate Bill 166 has passed second reading. Senator Fitzpatrick.
Madam Chair, I move the committee rise and report.
You've heard the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes have it. So ordered.
Secretary will read the report.
Mr. President, we are a committee of the whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, respectfully report as follows. Senate bills passed. Senate bills 32, 38, 53, 113, 119, 121, 124, 134, 154, 166.
Senator Ellis.
I move adoption of the committee report.
You've heard the motion of Senator Ellis that the committee of the whole report be adopted. As many of those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the votes.
Mr. President, 37 have voted yes, 12 have voted no.
37 senators having voted aye and 12 having voted no. The committee of the whole report has been adopted. Thank you. Yep. Thank you, Senator Ellis.
That is all, Mr. President.
That objection will be on order of business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 16, introduced by Hertz, a bill for an act entitled Revised Distribution Period for a Montana Farm Ranch Risk Management Account.
Senate Bill 16 have been read through several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Senator Mullet. That any member wish to change his or her vote, the Secretary will record the votes.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
49 senators having voted aye,
Senate Bill 16 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 24, introduced by Hertz, a bill for non-consent title, require corporations to file electronic income tax returns.
Senate Bill 24, having been read through three several times, question is shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Is every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 46 have voted yes, 3 have voted no.
46 senators having voted aye and 3 senators having voted no. Senate Bill 24 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 37 introduced by Hertz, a bill for an act entitled Update Definitions for Meat Inspection of Non-Amenable Species.
Senate Bills 37 have been read through three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 36 have voted yes, 13 have voted no.
36 senators having voted aye, 13 senators having voted no. Senate Bill 37 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 96, introduced by Usher, a bill for an act entitled Create Separate Definition for Persistent Felony Offender Under Supervision.
Senate Bill 96 having been read through three several times. Question, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 33 have voted yes, 16 have voted no.
33 senators have voted aye, 16 have voted no. Senate Bill 96 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 128, introduced by Ellsworth, a bill for an act entitled Generally Revised Laws Relating to Legislative Exempt Personal Staff.
Senate Bill 128 have been read through three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 47 have voted yes, 2 have voted no.
47 having voted aye, 2 have voted no. Senate Bill 128 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 143, introduced by S, a bill for an act entitled Allow for a Referendum to Terminate Citizen-Initiated Zoning District.
Senate Bill 143 having been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 34 have voted yes, 15 have voted no.
34 senators having voted aye and 14 senators having voted no. Senate Bill 143 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 158 introduced by Ellsworth, a bill for an act entitled Revised Family Transfer Law.
Senate Bill 158 having been read through several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 33 have voted yes, 16 have voted no.
33 senators having voted aye, 16 having voted no. Senate Bill 158 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 159 introduced by Beard, a bill for an act entitled Restrict Use of Eminent Domain.
Senate Bill 159 having been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Senator Usher? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 33 have voted yes, 16 have voted no.
33 senators haven't voted aye, 16 haven't voted no. Senate Bill 159 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 173, introduced by Bogner, a bill for an act entitled Revised County Road Abandonment Process Laws.
Senate Bill 173 haven't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
49 senators haven't voted aye. Senate Bill 173 has passed the Senate.
That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, we'll go on order business number 9, motions. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a few motions here. I move to re-refer Senate Bill 207 by Senator Brown. Short title, Clarify Final Decree Process for Compacts from State Administration to Natural Resources.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. President, I move to re-refer House Bill 52 by Representative Katie Zolnikoff from Highways and Transportation to the Energy Committee. The short title is Revised Common Carrier Regulation.
Without objection, so ordered.
And then, Mr. President, I move to re-refer Senate Bill 121 and 124 to the Finance and Claims Committee.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator McKamey.
Thank you, Mr. President. With your indulgence, since we missed introductions, maybe...
We're going to get into those on order of business number 12.
Thank you.
This is on motions. Seeing no further motions, without objection, we'll go to order business number 12, announcements of committee meetings. Senator Regeer.
Mr. President, Senate Judiciary will meet tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, three bills, and hopefully some executive action.
Senator Small.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two announcements. First, Senate Business and Labor, 8:30 a.m. tomorrow morning, room 422, and I believe six bills. And then, if I may be off the record now, the Journal for the purpose of an announcement.
You may.
Thank you. I was asked to repeat this for tonight. So the contractors' reception is at the Great Northern, and they will open the doors down there early at 4:30, so everybody can go down and check them out before the state of the state. Thank you.
Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate State Administration, 3 o'clock today. And we have one bill, some lots of executive action. Long-range planning, 8:30 tomorrow, 472, I believe, meeting with education. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator McGilvery.
Mr. President, Public Health, 3 o'clock. Thank you.
Senator Wellborn.
Thank you, Mr. President. Section C subcommittee tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, room 317C. And Senate Natural Resources, as quick as we can get over there when the floor session's done, we have one bill to hear today. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator McCamey.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I be off the record and out of the journal for the purpose of a couple of introductions?
You may.
Thank you very much. First, I have the honor of introducing my U.S. Air Force retired son, Mark McCamey. He is with us today.
Welcome to the Senate.
And I also have the honor of introducing our school superintendent, Levi Collins, and school board member, Rick Cummings.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Solomon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Education at 3 o'clock, and then also in the morning, Joint Appropriations Education will meet with long-range planning, room 472. It will be at 8:30.
Senator Glimm.
Thank you, Mr. President. Section B tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, 102.
Senator Hertz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your hardworking tax committee will not be meeting Thursday, Friday, or Monday. Stay tuned.
Senator Mandeville.
Thank you, Mr. President. Section A will meet at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Senator Friedel.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Local Government will meet here at 3 o'clock. Three bills, EA possible. Thank you, Mr. President.
Pro Tem Bogner.
Mr. President, I rise for a general announcement. Mr. President, members of the body, today the Governor Bart statue project artist, Gareth Curtis, is set up on the second floor in front of the governor's office. Gareth is working on the bust of former Governor Martz and looking for input. So please stop by for a minute and give your input. Thank you.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do have an announcement. Tonight is, of course, the State of the State address. So what we're going to do is we're going to come here to this chamber, I think trying to get here, you know, by 6:45. At 6:50, we will gavel in quickly, and then we will proceed over to the House chamber for the State of the State address. And it's my understanding that they're going to have some pizza or food downstairs in the rotunda around 5 o'clock. So 5 o'clock. So if you want to stay here and have a pizza dinner, that will be available for you. So. With that, Mr. President, I move the Senate stand in recess until 6:50 p.m. and reconvene at that time for the State of the State address.
So ordered.